side of the road. What does it say? High accident zone. Haven't you found that when you drive and they're warning you what's going there? And I want to just say spiritual depression is something that happens to all of us. And we've got to be very much aware of it, because I want to just say to you is that sometimes you're not in control of this thing. We have an enemy. And what is his name? Satan. And he comes to rob and to kill and destroy. And he comes to bring us to a place of spiritual depression. I ask the question, why are so many Christians dull? I'm serious. We don't seem to have a witness of Christ. We don't seem to have the life of God in us. And I'll say, I don't believe we want to be like that. But I think what actually happens, we have an enemy that comes and he brings us to a place and he leads us into a place that our lives become dull. And the enemy comes and he tries to take away your witness of Christ. And he wants you to be a place that you'll be sad and somber, and you won't have the joy of the Lord in your life. And God doesn't want that for any of us. You see, depression is one of the greatest sicknesses that's out there in the world and impacts the church from the work position and the family position. The stresses that we live today are immense. And people are facing it in their physical bodies, depression, and it's a reality, folk. When people face depression, it is real. Don't play around with the thing. You have to work that thing out. But I want to say there's an aspect of spiritual depression where we are dull and we are dead to the things of the Spirit, because the enemy comes and to rob us of who we meant to be in Christ. And we need to do something about that. I refer to a scripture in Psalm 42, and I read from verse 10 to 11. As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Now that's quite complicated to try and understand. But the psalmist comes and says, when he's downcast, when the spiritual depression actually comes, what does he say? Turn to God. Turn to God. And when you turn to God, start to praise him. And we've been doing the psalmody course, and I'm telling you now, we need to start to instill this in your life. It's not just a matter of we need to be hearing about praise. We need to be doing it, because it takes away that spiritual depression that comes to your life. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And when you start to lift him up, there's something of your countenance, your face starts to shine because of what's inside of you. And we need to break this authority that comes over our lives. And I want to encourage you, don't allow your circumstances, don't allow the temperament, and don't allow the devil to come and rob you of who you are in Christ. He comes and changes, tries to change your physical conditions, and he tries to change your temperament. And I always say is that he comes to change your weather pattern. He changes the atmosphere, that it's a dark, dull day, and you get up in the morning and there's no joy of the Lord. And I want to say Jesus never called us to that. He called us to abundant life. And I'll ask you the question, do you experience the joy of the Lord? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? And sometimes we don't. But what do we got to do? We got to rise up, and the scripture says we've got to rejoice in the Lord. And when we start to rejoice in the Lord and we start to give him praise, the joy becomes a reality, because Christianity and following Christ is real. There's a joy and there's a peace. Your circumstances might not change, but you start to have the joy of the Lord within your heart. So that's one aspect. But then you've got to, if the enemy is doing that and is impacting your outlook on life, and bringing in thoughts into your mind that you look with a negative outlook, you need to resist the devil. Jesus is not going to do that. It says in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, you submit to God and you resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if you are feeling in yourself, there's nothing wrong with you physically, but you are downcast, praise the Lord, but then also take authority over the circumstances that you find yourself. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And the devil has to submit to the authority that God has given you in the name of Jesus. And when you resist the devil over your circumstances, you're going to start to experience the joy and the peace and the fullness that God has got for you. Do not walk in spiritual depression. Rise up and live in this abundant life, the fullness that God has given you. Why must we live second-grade Christian lives when God has provided everything for us? But don't be duped. The enemy will try and bring you into that place. Don't allow him to do that. So that's a chili bite. Did it burn within you? Was it hot? What is the hottest one, Craig? I don't even know what the name of the hot one. Jalapeno, what is it called? Habanero. Don't eat them. They burn. I want to deal with, over the next while, the Lord has placed on my heart, I want to be dealing with the parables that are faced in the book of Luke, and we're going to be doing over a period of time, we're going to be looking at the parables in Luke. So we're going to be looking today at the parable of the sower, if it can come up on, if it's there, it's coming. And I'm very excited about this because we're going to go back to the words of the Lord and what he was saying. And you know, the parables were not meant to be, they were meant to be hidden to those that were unbelievers, but to us, they're not meant to be hidden. So I want to just trust God that he will speak to us very clearly today. So I'd like you to get your Bibles out. Do you all have your Bible here, even if it's on your phone or on your laptop or your iPad or whatever you got? And turn to the book of Luke chapter 8, and we're going to be reading from verses 4 to 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. And verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other fell among thorns, and which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop or produce a crop. So the context here is that this is for all of us, wherever any congregation where the word of God is actually preached, this is an application for every one of us, the parable of the sower. And I want to say firstly that this parable brings out, Jesus tells us that there are four kinds of hearts here that God is looking at. And I want to say importantly, we're not dealing so much with your mind, we're dealing with your heart. And you know that we are constituted body, soul, and spirit. And my understanding that your heart is not your organ that sits here on your left side of your chest. It's actually your spirit and your soul. It's the entity of who you are that's a spiritual dimension that when you die will leave your physical body and go to be with God. And if you know him, if you don't, it'll go to be in hell. And that's what the Bible actually teaches. But God is so concerned about our hearts. That's why he brings this parable. And he also says in Proverbs is that we need to guard our hearts above all else because it's the wellspring of life. That comes from Proverbs chapter 4, 23. So the Lord is coming here and he's saying, what is in your heart? Who are you? And this parable today is in analyzing us as a congregation. There are four kinds of hearts here today amongst all of us. And I ask you the question as we go through all of this, who are you? Who are you? out of the four. And you need to identify, and I hope over this, as we go through this exposition of the scripture here, that you'll identify which heart you are. And if you're not in the rightful place, will you do something about it? Will you do something about it? Your heart, it's the wellspring of life. God, your heart. You know, you can have all the money in all the world. You can have all the assets in the world. But if your heart is not in the right place, you are in danger. You are in danger. And God wants your heart, because that's the entity that he's given to all of us that he's going to be looking at, and he's going to judge and say, what did you do with your heart? Because your body, your body is just an instrument of your heart and your soul. The real you is your spirit and your soul. The real person that's within you. You know, if you look honestly and you look in the mirror and you look at this body and you say, well, that's not me. It isn't. It's you inside. This wonderful part of God that he's created you. He's created you to be spirit and soul. Part of your soul, I just want to say, part of your soul is your emotions, your intellect, your will. Very important. And I want to say also your mind. Your mind is not your brain. Your brain is part of your body. It's an organ in your body that God uses. He uses the mind that's in your soul to work through your brain. So I don't know how it actually works, the details of the thing, but your mind, God tells us in the scriptures that your mind needs to be the mind of Christ. And that's why we need the word of God again to come in, because when you are born again, your spirit is made new. Your mind isn't. And your mind needs to be renewed through what? Through the scriptures and the word, that your thinking and your processing of life can be changed according to God's ways. That's why you need to change your mind, and that's why we need the word of God, because it's spirit and your mind is spirit. And when you put those spiritual entities there, you start to transform your life to be more and more. Christ becomes a reality. And in Corinthians says that you have the mind of Christ. You start to think and start to operate in the dimension of God. It seems so strange to all of us, but this is what God has for us. And I want to encourage you, you need to grow in developing your mind so that your heart can be used by God. This parable doesn't really need to be explained, because Jesus has gone through the details of that. But I just want to say preeminently is that this parable is about caution. And what is it caution about? It's the caution of hearing the word of God. You know, if you go and look at history, we hear about the time when Israel, when the word of God wasn't around, and they went into dark times, they fell away. And even in Christianity, after the first 100 years, there was a dark ages where the scriptures weren't read, and we know it as the dark ages. And what actually happened, men defaulted to the sinful nature, and men weren't transformed. And yet Jesus comes and says how important it is to be hearing the word of God. Now, we hear the word of God through preaching, but it cannot only be through preaching. We have got to be versed in the scriptures. We've got not just to come to a knowledge of the scriptures. The word of God has got to come and change us. I want to just say is that the reading of Scripture on a daily basis, if you're hearing what the Spirit of God will transform you and change you for every event and everything that you face in your life, the Word of God will give direction. The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God. You see, this is the written Word of God, but God's spoken Word was spoken into the hearts of those men and those women all that time ago, and we've been given this gift that's called the Bible today, that's actually a documented form of God's Word. We need to allow God to speak to us personally and through the preaching. But the important thing is that through the preaching, I want to just say is that I know, and being a preacher, is that not always everyone hears what has been said. Many a times what actually happens, I preach the message here and I've given my heart to it and I know God is in it, and we get to Wednesday and I ask, what did I preach on Sunday? Most people can't hear. Because why? I want to tell you now, the devil comes to rob of that word. He doesn't want you to remember the word of God, because the word of God is life. It's spirit and life, Jesus says, and it transforms you and it changes you. It's the most valuable aspect of God that he's given to us, his word. And we negate it and we think it's not important. It is absolutely crucial to us. I want to just say is that in Romans 10, Verse 17, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. We've got to be hearing the word because it's got to come and reveal Christ to us. And as we start to understand Christ, then we start to live this life that God has called us to do. You know, important thing is our communication. And we need to be good communicators. And the communication, when we come to Christ, is we got to go to another dimension. When we live just natural lives, we need to communicate with one another. We need to be speaking properly, and we need to be hearing. But as soon as you become, and you become to Christ, the spiritual dimension starts to open up, and God's word starts to become a reality. And the difficulty of that, we're not versed in that. We've got to grow in that, and we've got to train ourselves in these things. And we've got to start to listen to God. And to hear God is a skill. It doesn't something that comes overnight. I remember as a young Christian where we encouraged to listen to the still small voice within your heart. And as a young Christian, I remember God speaking clearly into my heart, but I didn't know what it sounded like. And I said, Lord, is that really you? Is that really you speaking in my heart? And it was like the Lord even said, yes, it's me, but rebuking me, listen to what's in your heart. And we've got to grow in what it is to the still small voice. Do you practice listening to what's within your heart, the leading of the Holy Spirit? Do you follow the leading as God will lead you and guide you? Very, very important. You see, our communication skills need to grow two dimensions, with God and with one another. And as we do that, we will start to hear what God's word is coming to us. You know, God can speak to us. Yes, he speaks to us through his word, but he can speak to us through anything. He can speak to you through the TV. He can speak to you through your child. He can speak through your work colleague. He can speak to you through the academia. He can teach you lessons of life, how to live. It can be an arbitrary. I remember a good friend of mine many years ago, he was reading a cowboy book. I can't remember what those cowboy books were, names were called. He was reading a cowboy book, and God spoke to him so clearly through the cowboy book. You know, that's how God can speak, but we've got to be open to his communication with us and allow him to speak to us. So firstly, the first caution is that we're looking at open ground. We've got to be, Jesus talks about, we've got to be aware of the devil when we hear the word of God. And yeah, Jesus tells us is that the devil comes and he comes to take away the word. And have you ever experienced that, is that when you hear the word of God, it gets plucked out of your heart? I don't know if you've experienced that in your life, but I want to say it's an absolute reality. It happens to me now and again, is that I'll be sitting with the Lord, and God will just put something in, and it's gone. And then I have to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, I'm trying to remember. I say, Lord, bring me to remembrance of what that is again, and the grace of God comes. But who is that? It's the enemy. And you know, abundant life, and the devil doesn't want you to have abundant life. And the devil wants to rob you of the fullness of Christ. And if he can bring that to you, because why do you find when you come to hear the truth about the word of God, all of a sudden, this is the greatest place to sleep? The dull eyes. I'm yawning. And you never do that. You can watch the TV and it's, you can be attentive, and if it's Man United, you are there. But here it comes when the word of God is preached and you're sleepy and what's for lunch and your thoughts all over the place. And why is that? Because the enemy's trying to distract you, because he doesn't want you to hear the word of God. And you have to take authority in that, folk. You know, I generally pray for you before we come here, because the enemy is always here at these meetings. Don't think the devil's not here. He is here. But we have to take authority, because he's come here to steal the word. He hasn't come to worship God and to praise him. He's come here to steal the word from you, that you do not grow in God. But we have to take authority over that. So that's why I want to suggest to you, it's good to have a notebook, to write things down, what the Spirit of God is actually saying to you. I see a lot of you don't have one. I want to encourage you to have one. Have a notebook, because I'm telling you, you're going to walk out here and you're going to remember some of the stuff, but you're not going to remember what God is actually saying. Because if you really, I remember a good preacher that used to say, you need to take notes, because you've been trained. Take the notes and then go home in your afternoon. Go and have your meal with your family and then take time to ponder and to meditate on what God has actually spoken through the message. And God has got something to say to you. But if you don't have notes, how are you going to ponder on that? We need to do that. So I want to just say you have an authority and you have a responsibility before you arrive here together with the saints to worship God, but also to hear the word of God. You see, you can have good preaching, but we need good hearers. And I want you to be a good hearer. Now, before you come through that door into here, you need to be taking authority over the evil one that he doesn't rob you of your blessing today of receiving God's word. And if you would take that authority, you're going to be surprised the dimensions of the Spirit that is going to be available to you. So I even want to pray for you now. Father, I pray for everyone here now this morning where the enemy would try and come and take and rob them of the word of God. Satan, we address you in the name of Jesus. We resist you. We command you to go in Jesus' name. It's that simple. Childlike, that simple. The enemy cannot operate because we've exercised authority. So remember, first caution, the enemy comes to take away. He's a thief. In John 10:10, it says he comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have abundant life. Secondly, rocky ground. Beware of resting on mere temporary impressions when you have heard the word of God. You see, the word comes and it's got to penetrate our hearts. It's got to come in. But we got to be careful that we don't get tempted, that the things of the world come in and to rob us of what God wants them to do. You see, when you plant seeds, and I love gardening, and it's one of my passions that I find very therapeutic to me. And I find planting seeds is a wonderful expression when you put a focal point in your garden and you plant those nimwakulans and it come into summer. Now you've planted some of the different ones coming into summer. But you got to prepare the soil. And as you prepare the soil, you scatter, and sometimes the seeds are so small, you've got to put them in fine little compost, and then you scatter them, but then you've got to water them. But you know, if they don't get root, the heat that comes, and especially, the danger of coming now when we're coming into spring, we don't have rain. So you've got to be watering out there, because the rains normally come by end of October. We normally get our rains. But now this time is a precarious time, and we found, I don't know if you found in the climates at the moment, October is a very hot month. It's becoming like Zimbabwe here, and October becomes very hot, and now the seed starts to be scorched. It's the same when the Word of God comes to you. The Word of God is actually planted in your hearts, and when the heat starts to come and it can't get root, we've got to be careful that it actually, so it's got to be nurtured. So you have a responsibility to water it. Now, where does the water come from? It's the Spirit of God. And I want to just say is, when you take the word of God and you receive and say, Holy Spirit, here's the word, will you nurture it in my heart? Because that's where it's planted. And will you nurture it? And then he will bring revelation and he'll bring wisdom and he'll bring it to life. And I tell you now, if we would be so committed to the word of God, I'm telling you, you in dimensions will just grow exponentially. It comes to my mind, there was a story of a man who was really battling at school. He was actually failing. And he got stuck into the Word of God. And he started to take the Word of God and he used to ponder it and meditate on it. He used to memorize the Word of God. And there was a direct correlation as he started to take God's Word, as he became a Christian, and started to apply it to his life, his grades increased. Because God's Word brings life. And it takes our dullness and it takes the stupidity or maybe the inability to apply ourselves. The Word of God, you know, I wish I was a Christian at school. I would have cracked that poetry. The literature, I would have understood it, because God's Word, you got to get into it. You got to go deep into it. You got to read the words. And if you want to study it, you got to get into the depths of it and get that Greek concordance out and go and find out what the depths of it is. It just expands. And then I think that's the beauty of language and the beauty of literature and poetry. Don't throw those things out. That's not old otates. That's important. We need to be doing some of that stuff. When last did you read a good poem? We mustn't just be narrow-minded. Let's get into that thing. Some, Who's read Shakespeare lately? I haven't, but I think he's profound. He was a Christian, do you know that? He was a Christian. He maybe not expressed himself directly, but he was a Christian. He referred quite often to the Bible at that time. So the second one is rocky ground. Ensure that you don't allow the scorching heat, feelings and doubt to come and to rob you, that your seed does not grow deep in the Lord. Thirdly, thorny ground. This is beware of the cares of the world. Many hearts get affected through the affections of this world. And we are in a profound time of the ages where the things of the world can distract us so easily. There are so many things out there that are vying for your attention. We have businessmen, we have the advertising industry that are working so powerfully to distract you and to get you to doing things. How many of you get calls every week to get you into something? That caller ID, you know, when it says, and I don't know if it's you in the church phoning me or is it one of these guys, and I've got to say, Lord, I don't know, should I answer this or not? Because I don't have all your numbers on my contact list. So is this a church member or not? Okay, I'd rather not answer it, because then when you get stuck into that thing, I don't know, maybe I'm a sucker with the things. I can't be hard. You know, I try and say, please, I'm not interested. But, you know, they're quite enticing in that thing. And they push you. And it's the same thing with the world. The things of the world pushes you. We love things, don't we? We like nice clothes and we like nice cars and nice things. And they're not wrong, but we've got to be careful it doesn't rob of the Word of God. Because those things can be, you watch out there. I had opportunity this week to go into Sandton. Wow. There's been some development in Sandton and there is wealth of note there. There are cars and you see how the people dress and stuff. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm just saying that sometimes it can be an absolute trap, because where's God and where's the Word in this thing? Is that God wants to bless us, and I don't believe there's a problem when God actually prospers us. But we've got to be careful that when we get prospered, that those things don't become more important than rob us of the depths of what God. Can I give a warning to businessmen? Make sure your business is not bottom line driven. Yes, you must make a profit and you must be wise and charge the right prices and don't rip people off. But make your business around people. Look after people. Be wise in your dealing. When you look after people, God will bless the bottom line. And so often we see in the world today, it's not about people, it's about the bottom line. It's maximizing return and give the shareholders their dividend and doing these things, and they are abusive and robbing people. And you know, I was in that world for some time, and you know, the board meetings used to be about the bonus scheme. Not about running the business, but it was at the bonus scheme. And they would spend hours of how to get their pockets enriched about the bonus scheme. And there's ingenuity like you cannot believe how they're going to prosper. We even see in our newspapers today these guys that have been practicing corruption, but that bonus scheme's in place. They haven't made their profits, they haven't performed properly, but they are getting paid megabucks. And that's the pleasures of the world. And I'm saying, fuck, it's good to have. God wants to bless us. And if he does bless you, count your blessings and don't be guilty when God actually blesses you with things. But please don't let it rob you. And even if your pursuit in business and stuff like that, don't let that rob you of the kingdom of God. Don't let it rob you what God has for you. Because you see, God, there's so much more. There's a reward in heaven. There's one life to live. And those things will take you and rob you of what God has got for you. Because if you don't put the kingdom first, my goodness, it comes quickly. And it comes very subtle, very subtle. I've got a good friend, loves God, absolutely loves God. But my goodness, the things of the world become more important. Where is he today? He's not in the church. Because those things have become more important. The things that pervade. It's coming to spring, it's coming to summer. The Vaal Dam is calling. Let's go sailing and boating and all that. Nothing wrong with that. But let's seek first the kingdom of God in these things. I'm talking too long today, but anyway, I want to just say something, is that I remember as a young Christian, I had all the opportunities to go and play sport on a Sunday. And I said, I had to make a decision where it says, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And I gave up my hockey to play, to be at church. And I wanted to honor God in that. And I tell you what, I didn't play hockey and I've missed that season, but I've got the kingdom. And I'm telling you, for all of us, and I want to say, well done for being here. You've given up stuff. You could be somewhere else. And I'm sure people invite you. I cannot believe what the world is doing at the moment. They have birthday parties on a Sunday morning now. There's no regard for the house of God. I'm not saying it needs to be a meeting on a Sunday morning, but every affair, it won't be a Saturday morning, Sunday. I'm sure every one of you have faced that. Whether must we go on that? And I want to just say is, don't neglect the gathering of God's people. It's a very, very, very important. And even Wednesday nights as we gather, or the life groups, please don't neglect that, because that's where you're going to grow. I want to say things are happening in the life of the church, and it's going to happen in the meetings. God is doing something in our midst, and if you're not there, you're going to miss out. So don't let the trappings of the world rob you of what God has for you. You know, when I don't have the opportunity to be here, sometimes I'm away, and I hear all the great things that God has done. Oh, my heart gets sad because I missed out. I missed out. And this is a great, wonderful place where we gather here. And well done for being here. And get your friends to come and let's get back to gathering on a regular basis. Okay, the fourth ground, or the fourth caution, is fruitful ground. And you see, this is where God wants us, and this is our following of Jesus. He wants us to bear much fruit. John 15, he says that you will bear much fruit. And you see, there's nothing like when you plant seed into the ground and it produces a harvest. And it's fruitful. And you know, we have got to live to please God. And he wants fruitfulness from us. And you know, the day that we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, every one of us, you will stand alone. And what is God going to be looking at your life? He's going to be looking for fruitfulness. Yes, we need to be born again. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be having all the gifting. But the fruitfulness, and fruitfulness is actually our obedience to what God has actually told us to do. You know, I just think of Nikki and I. Why did we come and follow the Lord to plant here in Modderfontein? It was never on my radar. Never. But it was an obedience. You know, can I just be open and honest? We nearly planted in New Zealand. It was this close. We had a job. We were given eldership in New Zealand. We were there. But the Lord said, no. Go back to your Jerusalem. And then we didn't know. And it was the leading of the Lord in our obedience. And I'm not patting me on the back. I'm just saying obedience. And what I look at here today, and I look out at you, is God's fruitfulness. If we hadn't obeyed, maybe this work wouldn't have been here. Maybe it would have been someone else. I don't know. But I just thank the Lord is that we need to be obedient, because there's a reward. He gets all the glory and all the praise. We get none of that. But we need to be obedient, because that is where the fruit comes. Because God produces the harvest. He produces the seed. When we obey and we do what he tells us to do, we'll be fruitful. Robbie, do you know the Lord loves you? And you know, you're a very fruitful young man. And you know, I just sense you've got a testimony of Jesus already. And there's friends around you that have been impacted through you already. Because you tell them about Jesus, don't you? Hey, keep on doing it. The Lord just wants to encourage you. Keep on doing it, because you're living a fruitful life already. And he's well pleased with you. Hey, keep following him and do exactly what he tells you to do. Even as children, well done, Robbie, even as children can obey the Lord and do what he tells you. So I want to encourage you, let's grow into our fruitfulness, because this brings the fullness of God's life. So I want to just say in conclusion here is that we have the danger and responsibility to be hearers of the Gospels of Christ. And I want to just say the first three kinds of hearers that we spoke about: the open ground where the devil comes to destroy, the rocky ground, the thorny ground. We cannot live in that dimension. We don't have, what is the word? We don't have the right to live there. We have to move from that. God expects fruitfulness. And that's what I was trying to say. He expects fruitfulness from all our lives. And we stand at the judgment seat. He's going to say, did you obey what my Spirit told you to do? And we have that responsibility. You see, when you come to Christ, He comes to live inside of you. But then we have a responsibility to be led by the Spirit of God and obey Him, every one of you. And I want to encourage you, this aspect of being led by the Spirit of God and being obedient to Him is vital, absolutely vital, because He's the head of the church. He's leading the church and He's administering the church, and you need to obey Him in the gentleness of who He is, and as He stirs your heart to do that, do exactly what he calls you to do, and you will live a fruitful life. My desire for every one of you that you would live fruitful lives. The day that you stand before your Lord as the judge, not just as Lord, but as the judge that's going to judge us for our works that we've done in Him, because we are meant to do good works. What has He told us to do? And I believe God's stirring this church up to go out, and we've got stuff to do, and we're going to have to hear the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's not just for the leaders to actually hear. You must hear what God's telling you to do, and we've got to go and do it. And I want to tell you, come and submit it to the leadership, and God's going to do that wonderfully in and through us. So I want to encourage you, don't live for yourself. Live to obey the Holy Spirit and do what He's calling you to do. And I'm telling you, there's an impact. You know, by simple example, I was at Varsity, and I was a green Christian. I knew nothing about Christianity. Nothing. Even though I grew up in the church, we weren't trained in the things of the Lord, or I wasn't understanding those things. And I was at Varsity, and we're part of this fellowship group, and a prophetic word came. That's why I think, Craig, was very important to hear what the Spirit of God is actually saying to us. The prophetic word came, and the Holy Spirit said to us as young Christians there, go and tell people that I love them. Oh, you shouldn't have asked me to do that, because you get bung of people, don't you? Because especially when you've got to tell them spiritual things, that Jesus loves them. And I apologize, and my wife, dear wife, if I've told the story before, I'm sorry, Nikki. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. And I was at Wits and walking down the Jorison Street, but I walked on the back road, and there was a gentleman, a black gentleman with a hat, and he was walking along. And I went up to him and I tapped him. Jesus loves you. and then the Holy Spirit encouraged him. That's good. But you know what? You actually need to enter into a conversation. And I learned to do that. And eventually, the Lord taught me that you've got to go fishing when you do with these people, because you've got to put the word out. And you've got to ask them where they do they know the Lord. Do they know their future when they die, or they're going to heaven? And you know, when you start to fish and you start out of a genuineness of loving them and sharing the gospel, the truth, what Jesus has done for them, people's hearts want to listen, because we weren't condemning them. Yes, sin is the issue, but God's not condemning. And we got this good news, and people started to respond. It was the greatest joy in my life when I started to love people. And even today, as I stand behind this pulpit, I cannot do this work if I don't love you. Otherwise, it's so empty. I've got a job. It's not a job. It's about, you know, a shepherd that actually loves you. And I want to just say, we love you. And we want the very best for you. But I want to say, let's live fruitful lives. This is a very simple message. But may you move from open ground to rocky ground, from thorny ground to fruitful ground. And may your lives be so fruitful as you walk in Christ, and you allow Him to use your life and be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Allow Him to speak into your heart and be used. This is simple, but it's profound. Go and live fruitful lives. And I'll tell you, we'll mark this day in eternity. Did you hear the Lord said, go and be fruitful. Go and bear much fruit to His glory and pleasing to Him. Do as the Holy Spirit tells you to do. What did He tell you to do this morning? It might be go and give someone a hug, smile, go and ask for forgiveness. Don't bring that up. This is how the Holy Spirit works with us. Chaps, keep quiet. Put your hand in your pocket. Give someone a gift. I don't know how this works. You've got to be obedient to the Lord. And that's where you surrender your life to Him. And that's where you bear much fruit. And go and read the life of Jesus again. His will wasn't to do His own. It was to do exactly what the Father told Him to do. Jesus was not His own man. He was under authority. He was under instruction. And He did everything that His Father told Him to do. We have to live the same way, what the Holy Spirit will tell us to do. Can I pray with you? Father, we just thank You for the simplicity, but yet the profoundness of being obedient. And I pray for us, Lord, as we look at the condition of our hearts. And Father, we all want to move to a place where we are fruitful and that we will bear fruit 100 times. That we might be pleasing to You and glorify You. And Holy Spirit, as I commit every individual here to You, I ask that You would enable us to be fruitful in Christ and enable us to hear the voice of God and to be obedient through Your word. May we be pleasing to You in every way. And you know, maybe we're sitting here today and you've heard the word of God and you've been hearing these things and the dimension of the Spirit is not real to you. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And why did Jesus say that to Nicodemus? Because Nicodemus was a learned man. He knew the things of Scripture, but his heart was not open to the Spirit. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, that you become aware of God and God can come and live inside of you. And maybe you here today and you've never come to a place and you're not aware of spiritual things. You might be intelligent, you might be a good person, but you've never had your heart changed. And God wants to do that miracle today if you would submit to Him. To no one else, not to man, to Him, because He wants to come and bring life to you and transform your life and bring you into a living relationship with Him. He wants to wash you of the barrier that you have to God is your sin. And He wants to take that away and He wants to cleanse you that you can be in right relationship with God. And if that's you today, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you today and you've never come to a right relationship with Jesus, you've never submitted to Him, I call upon you today, if that's you today, I ask you to respond not to me, but I ask you to respond to Jesus. He is the Lord, He's God Almighty, and He's calling out with his love to you today. Come to me. If that's you today, if there's anyone here today who would like to make a decision to follow Jesus, anyone here today, we just raise your hand, anyone. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Father, thank You for Your blessing upon us today. May we continue to follow You, Lord. May we honor You, and may we bring You glory. May we be pleasing to You in all that we do. May we be obedient and be fruitful in everything we do now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you.